Hello and welcome everyone in this Kargil special episode. In this particular episode, we delve into the heroic tales of the Indian Air Force's pivotal role during the Kargil War, especially focusing on Operation Safed Sagar. Our honored guest, Mr. Wing Commander Arvind Pandey sir, came on the podcast and shared his first-hand experiences and insights into the daring mission aimed at annihilating Pakistani intruders on the Tololing Peak. Spoke about a lot of things. Some of them included his journey as an Indian Air Force pilot, his experience at preparing for the war. We also spoke about the motivation and the drive every defense aspirant or every soldier has while he decides to serve the nation. Watch this entire podcast to know his journey and to know the story behind Operation Vijay Sagar. But for now, let's invite Wing Commander Arvind Pandey sir on PWK. Learn, enjoy, and keep motivating yourself. Bharat Mata Ki Jai, Vande Mataram, Jai Hind. Enjoy yourself, guys. Commander Arvind Pandey sir, how are you?
I'm fine, I'm good.
What are you thinking nowadays?
This is my first experience. I'll give you my final concluding opinion after finishing this, because I never experienced this before.
How has your life been so far?
Fantastic. No regrets in life, enjoyed thoroughly. Good experience. Path of life is very good. And one must enjoy. Some ups and downs are there always, but one must enjoy life.
You know, this is my first defense podcast so far. And there have been, I have tried my best to invite many people, but it did not happen because of some reasons. And I want to know about you. Like, I want to know how you started, how you actually, decided to enroll yourself in the Air Force Defense Academy and everything. And how did you actually become the Kargil War hero? I want to know everything.
Okay. Life has been very simple and easy for me. Okay, I did my graduation. Unfortunately, when I was studying that time, I didn't know anything about NDA because of our exposure to different things. But once I started doing my graduation, I joined NCC. And there is NCC C certificate which you get after 3 years of NCC training. Then after, you can go directly for interview to Air Force, Army. I went for Air Force interview. First time I was rejected, second time I was selected. And when they asked me, where do you want to join Air Force? I told them this is the first job opportunity, that's all. Because I didn't have any exposure of Air Force also. And finally got passed out in 1988, almost 36 years back. Joined helicopter stream subsequently, flew helicopters to exotic places. Helicopter flying is really fun flying, okay. Nobody else would enjoy this kind of flying. It's thrilling. You go to new places which nobody has ever visited. Your operations are totally different. Okay, rescue operation, firefighting operation, life-saving operations. Along with that troop deployment, you do armament version, you attack, everything you can do with the helicopters. So flying wise, it was total fulfilling. and likewise also it was equally fulfilling.
Why did you, you know, decide, I mean, see, the reason people join defense is because they want to serve the nation. But here you are saying that there was only one job opportunity. Why is that so?
I didn't say that it was the one job opportunity. After graduation, this was the first job opportunity.
Achha,
I accepted.
Okay.
Had I not been selected in Air Force, I would have done something different. But in interview, when they ask, why do you want to join Air Force? Okay, everybody serves nation, okay? In case you become a Fauji, you serve nation as a Fauji. If you are a doctor, you serve as a doctor. And if you do your best, you are doing your, giving your service. So it's only the opportunity you get and you serve nation.
Now I'll come straight away to the Kargil thing. I want to know everything, like... what had exactly happened? I've read so much about it. I saw the, some videos about it also. But I want to know from you. Like, your experience matters the most.
Okay. So, first, let me give you a slight background about Kargil operation.
Sure, sure.
So, there is a line of control. Okay. Which runs east to west. North of that is Pak-occupied Kashmir. And if you draw that line straight, then north of that is Siachen, which is in our control. All along this line, which is about 105 miles, you can say around 200 kilometers. The standard practice used to be that during winters, because winters are very harsh, temperatures are less than minus 40 degrees centigrade, snow will pile up to almost 15 to 20 feet. So it was a standard practice that in winters, Pakistani post, which used to occupy along the line of control, they used to vacate their post and Indians used to vacate their post. Pre-summers in that area, that is in May, okay, first week, everybody used to go and occupy their post again and start vigilance over there. It was failure on different side, okay, political failure, military failure, will not go in that because I would like to share my experiences more. So, Pakistani occupied our side post and they didn't vacate during winters. We vacated in good faith and subsequently they didn't vacate in summers also. So somewhere in first week of May 1999, reports started coming that they have occupied our post. And they, the importance of this post is all along NH1, which runs from Srinagar till Kargil and further up towards Leh. From this post, you can see that road clearly. And you can direct firing from Pakistan side with artillery, which has range of about 30 to 40 kilometers, and accurately fire on the road. So any logistic which is going on that road, you can hit it directly. That is the importance of that post. So it's an observation post, all these posts. So when Indian force came to know that that has been occupied, so first week, 5th or 6th of May 1999, five people went for Reiki. They were captured, they were tortured, and they were killed. This was Captain Kalia, and his four boys were brutally murdered, you can say. Unfortunately, that has been the trend of Pakistanis or these countries to torture people so that that fear and threat is set in. And then after army movement started increasing, vigilance started increasing. I went to Kargil on 16th of May. And then after, on the very first day, I started troop deployment in Gurez sector. That is center Kargil area, okay? Close to Dras. So we were dropping. Unfortunately, I had one accident. because I was carrying troops, and this was the last sortie of the day. So they carried ammunition in dekchi. Dekchi is a big utensil where you cook rice, about 20-25 kg rice you can cook. In that they had kept ammunition, thinking that maybe tomorrow weather might be bad, so they may not be able to carry their ammunition. So when I picked up a helicopter, it was quite heavy, so I decided to drop three troops, and we calculate troop as 120 kg. So instead of 1600 kgs, I thought it's around 1260 kg. I took off. There are lot many factors. It's difficult to explain how this accident took place. But after takeoff, I went into a tree, chopped up that tree with my rotor about 20 odd feet. I was about to crash. So instead of going into the vehicles, I turned aircraft and landed into river. Aircraft took off on its own. It was like a galloping horse. And the flight time from that place to Srinagar was just 19 minutes. I took about 45 minutes to reach Srinagar. We landed there safely. But subsequently we realized that it was not 1260 kg, it was 2400 kg. Ooh. That's why that heavily loaded aircraft actually. But we all survived, thank God. Okay, that's most important. This was pre-Kargil. And from 26th May 1999, Air Force came into action and Air Force attack started. 27th May, we carried out on 26th May two attacks, and both were quite successful. This was the first time helicopters were used at such a high altitude. Tiger Hill and Tololing were more than 15,000 feet. Even during that time, Americans were interested in helping Indian Air Force because they never fought any warfare at this altitude. Okay. So it was, they wanted to gain first-hand experience. So quite a few countries were interested in participating in this. So on 26th, we carried out two attacks on Tiger Hill. And 26th, two fighter aircraft were shot down in Butalik sector. One was Nachiketa, who was POW, and he was released after about a week or so. And second was Squadron Leader Ahuja. He was captured and he was also brutally killed. Remember, whosoever is killed in that with single bullet is killed by Pakistani army. If somebody is tortured, butchered and killed, is by Mujahid. Okay, that is the first indication who captured whom. Ahuja was captured by Mujahid. And it was blatant lie by Pakistanis that this entire thing, entire operation is by Pakistani Mujahideen or Afghanistani Mujahideen or Kashmiri fighters. But it was not so. It was led by Pakistani army with this Mujahid. Okay. There were a lot many intelligence failure, or we were not able to take a clue from them. Like all along NH1, wherever army is there, civilians are there, during month of March, April, May, sale of all the items went up by almost 400 to 500 times. And all these bakarwals who used to graze these animals used to come down, pick up items like tin sheets, okay, toothpaste, brush, some moisturizer, sunscreen, everything was purchased from here and provided to Pakistanis who were occupying this post. So there were lot many hints, clues which were ignored at every level, including towards Bakarwal sector, which is in northern sector, north of Srinagar, Sonmal. Helicopters were not permitted in that valley because from that valley they used to fire. This was pre-Kargil. Okay, so we were told to avoid that valley. So there were blunders, there were failures, and there are too many books who people who have good experience, good writing skills, they have put down that. And the biggest experience of Kargil war was 28th May 1999. On this day, initially total 6 helicopters were to take part in attack on Tololing 5140.
Okay. Yeah, I know.
So this Tololing is north of Dras. The first peak is 4590, which is overlooking Dras. So maybe, in case you calculate aerial distance, it's about 2 kilometers. And then after there is a saddle, and there is a peak. The peak is called 4950. So in morning briefing, we were told that the first ridge we have captured by army, and we were told to attack the second ridge. So in case first ridge is captured, in between which saddle is there, that is dominated. Okay. So nobody will be able to fire from here till that saddle. But again, that was actually wrong input which was given. That ridge was not captured by Indians. So Pakistanis were sitting there. So imagine if you are attacking off from this side, this is the first ridge line. There is a saddle. And you are going for attack on this. This is about 10 odd kilometers distance. If you are attacking from here, if this is captured, nobody will be able to fire to this point. Somebody will fire from this point.
Right, okay. Yeah.
But in case this is not captured, he is firing on you continuously.
Hmm.
So when we went for attack here, fired and turned back, the chap from this place and on this saddle was continuously firing on us. Unfortunately, during that time, Indian Air Force, Indian Army, Indian political system, nobody was geared up for this war. Okay. So, our aircrafts were not well equipped. There is something called CMDS, that is Counter Missile Dispensing System. It has got two types. Okay. One is flare. In case heat-seeking is missile is fired, then we use flares. So it's a fireball like a crackers, which starts with temperature of 15 degrees and at 700 degrees, it slowly dies down. And it's fired from both the sides of aircraft. So whenever missile is fired, either you fire that time or you, while ingress, when you are going in for attack. So from 5 kilometer you start firing because missile has a range of 3.5-4 kilometers. From 5 kilometer you start firing your flares. And go, fire from here, turn back, go, till 5 kilometers, you have those flares. So your aircraft is protected. Okay. So that day, total 6 helicopters were to take part in this attack. Luckily, I would say, 2 aircrafts went unserviceable. Okay. So out of those 2 aircraft, one was with flare and one didn't have flare. We had total 12 helicopters over there, out of which 6 aircraft had we have habit of calling helicopters also aircraft, okay? So 6 helicopters had flares. So the composition final one was 4 aircraft with 1 aircraft without flare. That was number 3 aircraft. My CO was leader of this formation. His aircraft went unserviceable. So he came to my aircraft. Okay, I was number 6, being most junior over there that time. So I became number 1. So he was sitting on the right side, I was flying, and firing was my part because firing controls are with the captain. When we went for attack, so 2 aircrafts used to go in buddy formation. Okay, one is to fire. Once his firing is over, he is to turn. Second is to fire, turn. Now third and fourth has gap of about 45 seconds. So third will come, fire, turn, fourth will fire and turn. Now this third aircraft didn't have flares. And we climbed to something called 5.2 kilometer, which is about 17,500 approximately. And from there you have to put in dive. So we are like a sitting duck because helicopter speed is just 120, 140 kilometer at that altitude. So once third aircraft fired, he didn't have flares. Fourth aircraft had continuous flare. So till the time of firing, he was protected because of this helicopter. Once it turned, it was away from this flare. And that time it was hit by
Pakistanis.
Heat-seeking missile. So I heard that starboard engine on, only this much. And thereafter, it's actually full call is starboard engine on fire. There's a system called Natasha in helicopter. In case of major emergencies, automatically it transmits on RT. Okay. So all the aircrafts can hear. And then I told my sir, somebody is giving call. And that was, that is generally a female voice. So he said, ki maybe some airlines, Kula sir, we are on confidential channel. Nobody can give RT call on this. When we landed at Matayan, which is just ahead of Zozila, okay, short of Dras, that time when brigadier came to the aircraft, generally you won't find a brigadier running towards the aircraft. I said, ki something must be wrong. So he came, he said, ki while going there were four helicopters, while coming back only three came. Then my CO went in one Cheetah helicopter, army helicopter, and he went to that site where helicopter had crashed. Unfortunately, we knew that nobody will survive. Rest two aircrafts had seen that aircraft going down, because while turning, they were able to see. One gunner, he was behind, he saw. And Pakistani never used to waste their ammunition, okay. They never fired on Chetak or Cheetah which were flying. They used to fire on fighter aircraft or armed helicopter which are threat to them. So they were not totally stupid. Okay. They also used their Malum quite well. So that was actually a last attack. Then after all the attacks were stopped. Then in June they suddenly realized that we should do some night attack. By then everybody was posted out. My CO was posted out to some different department. I was from Hindon, Nubra Warriors. And this helicopter which was shot down was from Sarsawa. Squadron Pundir, Flight Lieutenant Mohilen, Prasad and Sahu were the crew. My salute to them, all respect to them, okay, because this was something which will be remembered throughout the life. So that was the participation in Kargil, the attack. Then on 2nd of July 1999, I was told to go to Kargil again, that is Srinagar. Because by then, everybody who was there, none of them had taken part in Kargil attack. So we all people were left. So I went there. I was given a training sortie at a firing range over there, which is called Toshamadana, at around 4.95 kilometers, because night attack was also at that altitude. And there were too many things actually disturbing. I was not too happy with that attack because half information was given to me and I was the only person who had taken part in previous attack. That's why I was told that you must go with task force commander over there who was from other unit. So we three helicopters were supposed to take off for night attack. Only one aircraft took off. And that was RT silence, means you can't give any call. We went there, put the aircraft on dive. Suddenly, I realized that somebody has fired a missile from there. So, I said, flares. So, other pilot, Wing Commander Mittal, he was with me. He fired flares. And unfortunately, we never practiced flare firing by night. Because 1500 degrees is very, very bright. And our instruments were at dim light position. There were no external lights so that we cannot be identified. And because of that flare, I was unable to see all the instruments inside also. Okay. So we took a recovery action and came back. At the time of landing, we realized that we were the only aircraft which took off instead of three helicopters. Luckily, some good prudence. That was the last attack, and then after we stopped attack. One most unfortunate part in Kargil was that it's taught everywhere. Never use helicopters or transport or fighters as extended artillery hand, okay? Because if you can hit a target with artillery gun, why use helicopter? Okay, but here everywhere it is used just to say that it boosts morale of the army personnel. There are different places, different philosophies to utilize helicopter. That should have been more appropriate, because utilization of your expensive resources wisely is more important.
So like when you came to know that you have to go, what were the things that came into your mind at that very moment?
Yes, in boxing.
Not life.
Any intense game. Okay. This is also game. War game we call. Okay. So whenever you are in any intense game, so you forget about everything. You concentrate only on that game. Believe me, I never thought about my kid, never thought about my wife when I went for attack. And it never came in my mind also. So you are blank from rest of the thing. You are concentrating on your attack. Your concentration is so high that even a deer or dog running on the road, from 2 kilometers you can identify. Any moving thing you can identify. So somebody is firing, that bloom you can see. When I went for night attack, like firing from AK-47, it's amazing to see. Every seventh bullet is a tracer bullet. Tracer bullet is a bullet which has a phosphorus on top. So seventh bullet you can see, okay, where it's sitting. Reason for using tracer bullet is, if you know the target is this one and you are firing but it's going 3 feet right, by night you will never realize where your bullets are going. So seventh bullet you can see. Again you shift your target and hit. Okay, that is tracer bullet. So you can see every tracer bullet in that. You can see MPRL filing going on Tiger Hill. There are shells which illuminates target, which was the last shell fired before we went in for attack. That illuminated Tiger Hill. We were for night, we were going for Tiger Hill attack. So personal things never bothers you actually when you are going in for attack. And once you come back, we pilots are very funny. We speak only about flying. So nothing bothers us. Okay.
So like, you know, nowadays as you can see, Bollywood have started covering those war movies and everything, wherein they show some things that are not possible in real life and some are not possible in real life. I won't name any of the movies, but I want to know your opinion on those movies.
See, Bollywood movies and real life, both are different. And in Bollywood movie also, they put that. This is a fictitious. So they are right in their own way, because they have to sell their movie. They have to make it more dramatic, more challenging, more heroic. And hero can do anything, flying from helicopter till driving vehicle, repairing runway. In real life, you have only one role to play, you will play that role. So, nothing to say Bollywood doing wrong. Otherwise, nobody will go and see their movie. Okay, that hero has to be very handsome. Can't be like me, 5 feet 8 inches, looking. Okay, but in Forge, all heroes are moderate looking, with moderate intelligence, but very sheer high willpower. Okay, that is the difference. So my all thanks and hats off to Bollywood also that they have started taking interest in these movies. They are doing good job.
What has been the most challenging part of your job of serving the nation as a wing commander?
This serving this nation, I feel sometimes that we are unnecessarily glorifying ourselves. Okay.
Why? I mean,
we are doing our job. Okay. So, like nowadays, you will see there's few doctors who actually are serving nation because they are serving poor free of cost. They got a big hospital. Okay. So those people are serving. We are with our own will, voluntarily joined force. Okay. So first thing, it was not compulsory. Then after we voluntarily joined our stream, helicopters, transport fighters. So we, it was our wish. Then after we flew, we got some tasks. Some people did that task, some people refused. You have every kind of person everywhere. Some people fought war. Some people said, give some example. Okay, some excuses, they didn't join. It's good. No credit taken. So whatever came to my side, mere jholi mein jo aaya, wo sab maine kiya. So that was nothing like serving the nation. It was a good opportunity for me, good experience for me.
You know, nowadays people, I don't know why, but maximum number of people want to join Indian Army and not Indian Air Force. I mean, why is that so? This might not be the reason, but I still want to know.
During our time, I think around 4 to 5 lakh people used to appear for CDS exam. I also appeared. Nowadays, that number has gone up to around 19 to 20 lakh. Do you think that people don't want to join Air Force and Army out of 19 to 20 lakh? For direct entry, you have about 25 to 30 people who join every 6 months out of 20 lakh. For NDA, that number is maybe around 150. Finally, we pass out of 200, just less than 100. We were 105 people who joined AFA, I am direct entry, people who joined from NDA, out of which only 53 people passed out. Okay, 50% were dropped out because of different reasons. They couldn't cope up with the flying. I don't think there is any shortage of people who want to join Air Force or Army. So maybe those people who don't get selected, they have excuse to say, I didn't want to join Air Force, that's why I went to Army and I didn't get selected in Army.
So, you know, whenever I come to know about any defense personnel who has been an active participant of any war zone or any war front, the first thing that comes into my mind is what actually motivates them, what drives them. Because you all are completely different from others, honestly. I mean, if we asked any person, any civil person who is doing a normal 9-to-5 job, that would you like to do? He will actually start thinking about it for 10 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour or so. But what actually drives a defense personnel when he decides to, you know, serve the nation?
See, our tuning from NDA days or direct entry days is different. We are tuned that way. Like I said, boxer. Okay. Boxer box, he doesn't think that he will get a punch. I start practicing. He get too many punches. He is hardened, toughened. Similarly, a fauji is during our training also in flying. It's not piece of cake. Aircraft from outside looks very flying peacefully, but inside there is a war going. Okay, instructor is thrashing his pupil. Reason behind that training is made so tough that daily routine flying becomes very easy. More you bleed in peace, better you fight in war. That way our training is really, really tough, okay, physical as well as mental. So when we go for a war, we are practicing for that, we are preparing for that. And we are, you ask any Fauji, 100% will say, yes, in my life I want to see at least one war. I want to experience that. I got trained for that. I joined this armed forces for that. Okay. So, that's all. That motivates every Fauji. That's the aim of every Fauji. That's the dream of every Fauji.
So, before ending this podcast, I just want you to give an advice over life to those people who want to do something for the country, but they are clueless. Like, from where should they start?
See, yes, there are so many opportunities nowadays that people, it's very difficult for them to select career as such. The most important thing, even if you are not chosen career at the age of, say, 14, 15, when you are in 10th standard or 12th standard, but if you are focused about your studies or whatever you are doing, whatever your passion is, be focused, give your time, love that job. The things will fall in place automatically. Don't start thinking from 12th, I want to become an IITian, I want to become civil servant. Yes, you should study, but don't think about becoming IS every day. So if you study, focus on study, you will become IS automatically. If you focus on IS, you will stop your studies. Okay. So they say that it's difficult to imprint on a cluttered mind. It's like difficult to write on a newspaper. You require a blank paper. So your mind should be blank when you are studying, you are reading something. So absorption is much higher. So, live your life today, forget about tomorrow, you will have success tomorrow.
So, thank you so much for devoting your precious time on this podcast and for enriching many young students who will be watching this particular podcast. And this podcast is going to be uploaded on the Republic Day 2024, which is going to come in few days. And this has been one of the, by far the most, my favorite and the most amazing podcast ever. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. This is my first podcast. Okay.
Yes.
Never seen such big mic. Thank you for giving this opportunity and I could share my experience with everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.
All the best.
Thank you.
This was Wing Commander Arvind Pandisar, who came on the podcast to share some of the really interesting facts about Operation Safed Sagar and also spoke about his journey as an Indian Air Force pilot. I'm sure you must have learned a lot of things from this podcast. If you like this podcast, don't forget to subscribe to the channel for witnessing such amazing podcasts always. Team Surajul Jani and Team PWK will be back with such amazing episodes. Till then, stay safe, stay happy. And happy Republic Day, Bharat Mata Ki Jai, love you guys.